few days ago, I was watching television when someone came and explained a couple of things about science. And then, a couple of days ago, the same day almost, I was listening to the radio when someone said that he can prove that millions of years ago, there were this kind of gods that came and did this and the other, and those who were listening, some of them commented and say, yeah, that's true. And people are ready and willing to accept someone's dreams or whatever the lies that people come up with, or they think they are the truth, and believe. And yet, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to his resurrection, people will doubt and even will forbid schools and government offices of talking about Jesus or displaying some signs of our faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an accepted historical fact. And the person who questions or denies it must offer the proof that he did not rise from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of Christian faith. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is mentioned 104 times in the New Testament. It was the one point that Apostle Paul emphasized in the message on the day of Pentecost. Jesus promised he would be raised from the dead. His holy life proved that he always told who the truth. And so we must believe what he said. And even his enemies could find no fault in him. So either he came out of the tomb or he was a liar. But there were many eyewitnesses who testified that they had seen Christ alive. John 20, verses 19 and 26. And I quote, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood among them and said, peace be with you. I suppose he said, shalom. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. On another day, 500 people saw Christ alive. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, we read, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, writes Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:28, then he appeared to James, then to all apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. Some believers say that these witnesses were hypnotized or suffered from self-imposed hallucination. But 500 people at one time hallucinating? All the courts need is one or two witnesses to throw out a case or a case to be lost or won. And here we have more than 500 people witnessing. Still, people doubt. There is, of course, the change in the lives of the believers that prove that Christ is alive. This remarkable change in their lives proves that they must have met Christ. Apostle Peter was a frightened coward one day and a mighty preacher the next. Paul and his conversion, Acts 9, proves that Christ was alive. No delusion or fabrication could change this dedicated Jewish rabbi into a fiery preacher and follower of Jesus Christ. Then there is the empty tomb. The stone was rolled away, the Bible says. Yes, it takes human power to move a huge stone. But human power cannot raise a dead person, no matter what kind of power that is. But this stone was not rolled away to allow Christ to come in, or come out, I should say. It was rolled away to allow men to look in and see that he was gone. Think about it. No one had to roll away the stone for Jesus to come out. He was already alive. But the door was open. The stone was rolled so men could see that Jesus is alive. The true resurrection message is come and see, and then go and tell. Now, if his body had been stolen, it was stolen either by friends or enemies. If by enemies, they would have produced it and silenced the disciples. If by friends or the disciples, they would not have been willing to give up their lives for a lie. You can imagine the fear and confusion of the religious people and the leaders. In their desperation, they bribed the soldiers to say that while they slept, the disciples stole the body of Jesus Christ. This explanation raises more questions than answers, actually. Why were the soldiers sleeping when they should have been on guard? How could the disciples have rolled the stone away without waking the soldiers? Makes no sense. How could all the soldiers have fallen asleep at the same time? If they were asleep, how did they know that the disciples stole the body? Good question to ask. If it was true, why did the soldiers have to be bribed to tell it? If the disciples had stolen the body, why would they risk their lives for a lie? We know, or rather we should know, that while truth is self-verifying, a lie has to be supported by countless other lies. Yet the lie remains among many Jews and Gentiles until today. The truth is that the resurrection of Jesus is a well-documented fact history. He presented himself alive to his disciples by many infallible proofs. The historic evidence of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is one of the great foundational stones or foundation stones, unshakable and unmovable, of our Christian faith. This truth can be denied, but it cannot be disproved. This truth can be denied, but it cannot be disproved. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. No, Jesus is not on the cross or with the dead. Jesus is alive. He has life and gives life. What else can be more important than life? And I would like to read once again the sum of 1 Corinthians 15, some verse, few verses. And Apostle Paul, who was working for the government. Apostle Paul, who was a zealous religious rabbi, teacher. Apostle Paul, who had the power to persecute Christians, writes this. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Have you ever thought this? What if Christ is not alive? What if the whole thing is a fabrication? What if there is no God? What if Jesus never came? If you would believe that, then you must feel very lonely and alone. You must feel very deceived. You must feel scared. And I don't blame the people who are afraid to even mention the word death. Because death, to them, is a curse. But Apostle Paul says, trust me. I practice my religion. I did everything my religion expected me to do. Today, there are many thousands, hundreds of thousands, billions of people practicing a religion. They will persecute others in the name of their God or in the name of their religion. People have given their lives for a religion. And yet, if there is no resurrection, if there is no resurrection, you and I are fools to be here. Why do we come to church? Why do we give money? Why do we abstain from certain things? Why do we work hard in a church? Why do we do all this? And why do we sing to something that is not there? Apostle Paul says, we are to be pitied. It would look like a Greek tragedy, tragedia, which the end is known already before the act is concluded. Apostle Paul says, no, I know that He is alive. And I know He is alive not because somebody told me. I know He is alive because He appeared to me. And the disciples are saying, believe me, believe us. We saw Him. We sat down and ate with Him. And Apostle Paul says, because He is alive, I'm willing to give my life for Him. Apostle Peter said the same, and all his followers said the same thing. Why do you think the Christians were willing to be thrown to the lions? Because they saw Jesus with their spiritual eyes. Not because they believed in a lie, not because they believed in a religion. Religion does not save anyone. Religion is trying to reach the unknown God somewhere. But faith is believing that God is reaching down to save us. God has given us the ability to search and find Him. God has helped us to find Him. God has revealed Himself to us. And God has created us and sustained us, and He is helping us to discover Him. The Bible says, if you search, you'll find God. He who searches, he who wants to meet God will meet Him. And sad to say that religious people, even we as Christians, very often we have misunderstood the call to go and make disciples of all nations. Instead of bringing people to God, instead of bringing people to Jesus Christ, who died for every human being on this earth, regardless of what people may think or say or what doctrines say, I believe that Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross, He offered Himself for the salvation of everyone who believes in Him and makes Him his Lord and Savior. This is our God. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. We don't believe in three gods. We don't believe in many gods. We don't believe and we should not worship any one human being. Because it is sinful, the Bible says, to worship idols and pictures and icons and people and elevate people on a pedestal and then become their followers. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. Again, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus said again, Peter, do you love me? Today he would have been misunderstood. Jesus would have been misunderstood. And yet, Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. Love is what makes one a follower of Christ. Jesus said, follow me. If not for his love, what makes us so different from pagan or any religion, including Christian religion, who has built monuments and worships people, as the individual who believes in Jesus Christ, the individual, the person who believes in God and believes that Jesus came and died on the cross and shed His blood, being God, emptied Himself, the Bible says, and became just like us, except He never sinned. And the person who believes that Jesus is the Savior and surrenders his life to Him and believes in His resurrection, because religion without the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the human beings or people who believe, everyone will be resurrected, some to eternal life and others to eternal death. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus did not come to die and be resurrected and then establish His own religion, and because He came and died and was resurrected to send people to hell. No, the Bible once again very clearly says that we have been judged from creation, right after creation, and every human being is the carrier of the virus called sin. And Jesus has come to give us the antidote of that virus, so that virus can be washed away and we can start all over again as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for loving each one of us. Your love, Jesus, brought You to the cross. And on the cross, Lord Jesus, You prayed for Your enemies. You prayed for those who were killing You, crucifying You. And Lord, you are always there, mediating for each one of us. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and give us the assurance of our salvation and give us the assurance of resurrection and life, eternal life. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, I pray, amen.